Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
I'm Sophia.
I'm Joyce.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
Today, we're going to be talking about love magic. I feel like it's very seasonally appropriate, given that on the day that this is going to be posted is actually going to be February 13th. So happy Valentine's Day tomorrow to everyone listening and watching. I think this is kind of the first time we've actually been really spot on with a holiday or season in terms of posting. So yay us in our scheduling ability. We're trying. We're putting forth a good effort. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about love magic. A lot of times, I guess the trope of love magic is a little pink bubbly potion in a very cute looking bottle, and you give it to
a little heart bottle
and you give it to the one that you wish to be with, or you want them to love you back, or whatever the case is. And we're going to talk a little bit about how problematic that can be, and also how unrealistic that can be, and also how fucked up it can be, but also how unpractical. Mm-hmm. But also
consent,
how lovely.
Consent is important, kids.
Yes.
I'm going to be talking about that. I got a whole thing trying to talk about consent.
The magic of consent.
talking about stuff with other people.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to kind of dig into today. We are going to talk about some... Love magic is real. It is a very real, subsect of spells and everything like that. It is very real, but you have to be careful, and it is not to be done in the way that Hollywood has portrayed it to be, or as some uneducated witches portray it to be. It's not X person, you have a crush on them and you want them to love you, and so you slip them a little thing or you sprinkle some powder in their footsteps. It's not like that. That's called, like, I don't know, not consent. So we're going to talk more about that. Who wants to kind of lead this off? Who wants to start this off? I think Scott looks very, very eager.
Yeah, just because when you discussed, like, the love filters. Love potions were once very real. They still are, but I mean to say the idea of infusing wine with particular herbs, even with a drop of menstrual blood if a woman was to seek a man, or other ways, which of course is also, bodily fluids, ingesting someone else's bodily fluids without, and you could think what could have happened back then, what was being passed around accidentally. Now, what
not
I really
good.
Do...
Like, we don't recommend that.
Got a big X-nay on it.
It's not a Witches Betwixt recommendation to sharing your bodily fluids without anyone's consent.
And without getting tested. Always
too.
Know your status. Know your status.
Yes, that too.
So, what I really wanted to start out with was, I want us to look at antiquity first.
Okay.
In particular, I want us to go back to, we could look at medieval times, and we could also look maybe a little bit further back to an older Mediterranean, so Italy, Rome, all up over there. A lot of the time, you will find that love magic was purposely, if you read the incantations for them, were very abusive. I have a few up here on my screen which I'd like to read for you. Let me see here. They're actually pretty disturbing. So some of the lines in some of these old Mediterranean love spells do not allow her to eat, drink, hold out, venture out, or find sleep. And then there's another one that says, drag her by the hair, by the guts, until she no longer scorns me.
Wow.
That sounds like kidnapping.
Then, of course, there's another...
Do not recommend for modern-day practitioners.
No. There is a hoodoo, a African traditional folk magic. However, I don't know exactly if this came from Africa. It could have. I really don't know exactly the birthplace, because you have to understand hoodoo, although its base is African, it has absorbed stuff from when the Irish came over and different Appalachian, and it kind of just started absorbing different things over the years. There's a spell in which it's you implore the intranquil spirit. Now, intranquil spirit, that term has a name in many cultures. In the East, they're known as hungry ghosts. To the Europeans, they're known as wraiths. They're human spirits that, you know how we talk about that unfinished business with ghosts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It becomes so burdensome. It weighs their soul down so much, they become sick and infected, and they become something less than human. Mm-hmm. In particular, these spirits, in my personal opinion, are some of the most dangerous in the wilds of the spirit realm. You implore them to basically drive the person insane until they come to you at a price. In the traditional spell, you give whatever particular intranquil spirit it is, you take their place at the end of your own life.
Oh.
That's not good.
And that's like desperation to a whole new level.
Right. Which leads me into the stories that come to us from the Mediterranean, which there's a lot about love magic. The Romani people, the kind of, I guess, what would be the cunning women of Italy, although they had a different name, and Strega mm-hmm. was not it. Although Strega is the name for which I heard that wouldn't be what they would have called them then. I'm not sure. But anyway, the point of the matter is that a lot of those tales and this folklore, they're cautionary tales mm-hmm. That talk about how they drive the person insane. They drive them mad. Many times the person who cast the spell was murdered.
Damn.
Because, you know, and it's interesting, many times also the person who was cast on will kill themselves because they so badly don't want to love them, you know, that the person maybe took them away from their true love. You know, there's a lot of stories of that as well. Now, I'm about to say something too, and this is just something I want. It's going to make me sound a little bit like an asshole, but
that's what we're here for.
We're all a little bit assholes.
Magic like this isn't something, I mean, and you know, obviously the ethical questions, but the actual practicalness of it all, like there's not a lot of people that could pull this off without really training themselves.
Yeah.
Also, another thing too, to be susceptible to compelling magic, to manipulative magic, there has to be weaknesses in the target. So basically, if the person is stronger willed than you are, it's not going to happen. If the person is more well adjusted than you are, it's not going to happen. There's tons of other factors that to actually use magic to manipulate somebody else is incredibly difficult. And you have to be at a certain point in your own practice to be able to hone your will in that way. And most people who were going to use magic this way are they're not there yet. And the people who are won't use it this way. See what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And people use those excuses like, oh, it didn't work. And it's like, no, you're just not strong enough.
Well, like, go ahead, Scott. You pretty much were hitting that nail on the head with it.
So another practical thing too to say, because I do want to not just tackle this on an ethical front, I do want to talk about it practically. Even if you do successfully pull off love magic, this is now, I follow Jason Miller on, we're friends on Facebook, and I think this is a conversation he was having on Facebook, but he said something that was really spot on, at least in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done a love spell of any kind, I know I've done love spells to just find a general person, and even those have fizzled out and always ended in heartache. The problem is that love magic, you have to continuously be doing the spell. So my question to you is, do you really want to be casting the same spell once a month, once a year, for the entirety of your relationship. Is that real, you know, or is that just the spell maintaining this fake?
So you're saying, suppose you cast a love spell, and like a good one, a good one, not like I'm gonna make this person fall in love with me. Just a
even
general.
Even if they did that, I mean, you know, outside of we're not like they, don't think about the morality of it all. But even if they were able,
okay. To so if I cast a spell to make you, Scott, fall in love with me, right? Mm-hmm. So you're in love with me, right? Which you are anyway, so it's fine. So I make you fall in love with me. But the only way that I'm going to make sure that you remain in love with me, I use this in heavy air quotes, because is it really love, that I have to continuously, gotta, you know, keep your monthly you love me spell, you know, like, is that, yeah, I guess that's what you're getting at, like, is that really love, or is that just captivity?
And also, is it practical? I mean, who wants that?
Yeah.
Is that real? Like, it just seems so...
I mean, if someone has massive control issues,
mm-hmm. I suppose it might be practical
for them, for that person. I'm not saying I would condone that or even...
I do
see what you're saying. Like, from a practical standpoint, it's just, you know, relationships are hard enough. Like, do you really want to have to maintain this this spell work on top of it just to make sure that it stays together?
Mm-hmm.
That's really a question. You know, if you're one of those people, let us know.
And then whoever in the comments.
I know a person who fits that bill, actually. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk any more on that topic, Scott, or do you want to kind of...
Out of interest, I mean, I suppose if... I guess you might have to cut this part out, Jay. I have another spell. Do you want me to give that little, like, kind of like a add-on for Patreon, or?
No, we can talk about it here. Okay. What we're planning on doing, just for listeners, I'm gonna hope that most of us, or maybe at least like two of us or something like that, we're gonna try and post our own little bit of love magic of what we would do on Patreon. So if you're a Patreon supporter. Just the $1 tier, you'll be able to have access to that post and that information.
So the spell that I was talking about once again is from antiquity. However, it's this is more medieval. Mm-hmm. This isn't kind of like an ancient Mediterranean spell so much, or an older Mediterranean spell. This is a little bit more medieval. So it's a little bit gentler, a little bit, but it's definitely coercive and very manipulative. So I do want to read this to everybody as well.
So you're just sharing this for information's sake,
for informational purposes only.
Disclaimer.
Yes, massive disclaimer.
Well, it's just like, you know, I have a spell book that teaches you how to steal the breath of a newborn baby, and I would never do that.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah.
When you say steal the breath, it's steal the soul. But never do it. No, I'm never
talking
about it.
Shit just got dark.
Yeah, just because you can do it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
I was going to say that, Joyce.
You should do it.
So with this spell, you are to take a shell from the sea and draw on it with myrrh ink the figure of a demon given below. They're just like strange medieval demons. It would really is just like a figure of like a creature's head. You would just basically draw a creature. And in a circle, write his names, his or her names, and throw it into the heating of a hot bath. I guess it would be like, I guess how they used to heat up baths back in this time. I guess it would be like a heating mechanism or whatever. But when you throw it, keep reciting these words. Attract to me X name, whom X and Y bore. On this very day, from this very hour, with a soul and a heart aflame, quickly, quickly, immediately, immediately. And basically, you keep chanting that spell over and over until that person is to love you, or comes to love you. And I mean, that spell obviously isn't like, you know, grab her by the guts, let her get no sleep. But it's still very coercive, and it's still incredibly problematic.
I mean, I really think about, also if you look at poetry of, I don't know, even let's just say Shakespeare or something like that. If you look at poetry, like, love in there was, I don't know if our ancestors and the people who came before us really knew what love was at that time yep. period, because and I know some people are like, well, how could you not know what love is? It's a very human thing, but I don't know. But yeah, I don't really know if they knew what love was, because it was very much it was always like you know, either the male figure was like obsessive. Mm-hmm. over the female figure, and you don't really find queer love that much, so I'm just using it from a hetero standpoint, but you know, like the male figure was very obsessive over the female, and or she would be you know, just lost without him, and mm-hmm. you know, it was very like, oh, I'll, you know, I can't sleep because I love you, I can't eat because I love you, like I just love you so much. It was very, very odd. And even if you look at it from, huh?
Codependent.
Yeah, codependent, mm-hmm. definitely, definitely. And you can even see that just in poetry and stories and just, you know, fictional writings from that time period. And I mean, even Shakespeare was known for incorporating witchcraft into his works.
Without the permission of the witches, which is
without the permission of the witches.
They proceeded to hex Macbeth because he stole a spell from them without actually asking, and that's why the play is cursed.
Oh, is that the story behind that?
Yes. He took a spell that he got from witches who were doing his fortune or something to that effect, and because he went to them to get something done, but he didn't ask them if he could copy what they were doing. And when they found out that he had used that for the play, they scorned him and cursed the play. And that's what the curse behind Macbeth is.
Oh, today I learned.
Not doing the play. So like, we're fine, but like the curse surrounds it directly, which is right. Very interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That is really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, Sophia, did you want to get into...
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about unhealthy and healthy ways to do love spells, because I am someone who has had a love spell placed on me. My first ex-girlfriend, when I was in high school and she was originally practicing Wicca, and she lied to me and said, oh yeah, because I was really interested in magic at the time. She's like, if you give me like a little bit of your blood, I can like do a spell to protect you and stuff. And I'm like, oh, so I did. And then she didn't do it.
Oh, no.
And then, that's not good.
She obsessed over it for a while, and it backfired, because if you understand, like, magical spell working, you kind of got to let a spell go for it to happen. If you're obsessing over it or lusting for results, it impedes the result. So it took a few years for this spell to actually manifest, for her to stop obsessing over me. And then we started clicking. And then we got into a relationship that lasted half a decade. And it went nuclear. It blew up so bad. And like, it was toxic. And we weren't good for each other, because she had used magic to alter my affections to get me to care for her. And I mean, I cared for her as a friend before, but I didn't love her. And the love was like very codependent, very clingy, unhealthy on both ends, very explosive. And it taught me very quickly that you should never like give body parts or like parts of your body to somebody who even just lightly practices magic. That's no joke. They can really do shit.
It's scary enough when there's like a hair on someone's pillow and you're like,
yeah. Well, that's why I use witch bottles for that. You can,
yes,
it'll go to my witch bottle and not my me, you know.
But yes. That's why I clean my hair brushes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My beard brushes mostly.
Actually, it reminds me of, I was listening to an episode of New World Witchery, and Corey was talking about how when he's like in people's houses and he goes into their bathroom and he'll see like a hairbrush with hair, he's like,
I could, but I'm not gonna. But I had a love spell on me, and it really led to a lot of unhealthy stuff in my life. And I learned from that it just doesn't last. Like Scott was saying, unless you're constantly doing upkeep on the spell, and even then, I'm a firm believer that it does fall apart. Because, like, love is almost its own force, and it has its own set of principles, right? Mm-hmm. If you love someone, in my opinion, you're not going to want to control them. Like, I've felt love a lot in my life for people after I got out of that toxic situation, and it really helped me heal. And it taught me that, like, I can't depend on somebody else for my own happiness. It has to come from within. And love is a place where you both share yourself with each other and you aren't trying to use each other to fulfill yourself so much as enjoy each other's company for who they are, right?
Exactly.
And it's also why I'm poly, because I don't like having a lot of restrictions placed on me, and I don't like the idea of controlling somebody else's actions. I couldn't personally love someone less just because they were with somebody else, and I know people who do monogamy, that might be completely different. That's A-okay, but just from my perspective, yeah, it also helped me deal with that too.
Being poly versus, monogamous, I think that's mm-hmm. just kind of, I view that as way more as a preference.
It is.
Or a choice or a preference, because for me personally, I pretty much would say that I am monogamous only because I just don't think I could handle multiple partners. It's enough when you have one person that has your attention and focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a handful or anything, but
I have massive anxiety, and just the idea of having multiple people that require my attention, I just couldn't do it.
That's bad. Scott, what were you gonna say?
I just wanted to give people different perspectives, because me and Darian, we are monogamous, but we are sexually open, I guess. Mm-hmm. Together anyway, we do every once in a while invite other people into, I guess, the bedroom, if you will.
But not into the relationship.
Right. So I was just trying to show wanted to show a gradient, from the poly to
yeah.
monogamy.
And it's not always black and white. We have a nice
spectrum here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm personally full poly. I don't think I can do monogamy. I've absolutely tried it. It just isn't for me. It's kind of being poly or monogamous to me is kind of like being queer. You just kind of are or you aren't, and you'll know when you do mm-hmm. it, and you'll mm-hmm. feel it, what's right for you. And it's just mm-hmm. a matter of being honest to yourself and what you want and what you need out of life, right?
Yeah, and
I think mm-hmm. it's healthy to acknowledge wherever you're at. If you don't want to be with just one person, absolutely build your relationships on that. And if you do want that intense one-on-one connection, go for it, right? You got to make the life that's healthy and happy for you. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the toxic side of love magic is violation of consent very often, because a lot of people are ooh, bring this person to me, or let's use this spell to make someone who doesn't have feelings for me love me. And that is, that's not really love, though. That's obsession. That's lust. That's manipulation.
Actually, maybe before you dig further into that, maybe we should all present the difference between love and lust. Because some of these love spells are really lust spells, really what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are based in the lust of somebody else.
Exactly.
Which is also different.
Yes. So... I mean, for me, I would differentiate, love is you don't want to get too dramatic about it, you know what I mean? I just feel like it's a mutual respect between two people. I take you as you are, mm-hmm. you take me as I am, and we go through life together, and this is what we're doing. Whether that is one partner or multiple partners, but I feel like love is just you love and accept that person as they are, no exceptions. You don't seek to change them. That doesn't mean you'll never fight. That doesn't mean you'll never argue, because argument is important, I think, in growing. You know what I mean? Mm. Then there's also different levels of arguments. If you're throwing things at each other, maybe you aren't meant for each other. But, you're allowed to have disagreements, and you're allowed to argue and maybe get on each other's nerves a bit. That's fine. But I think it is ultimately, it comes down to, I take you as you are, and you take me as I am. And that's the way that I would describe love. Lust, on the other hand, I think it is a very physical thing. I usually kind of equate lust, I guess it's more of a sexual thing, more of a sexual physical thing. I don't know if people that are asexual experience lust. I don't know how that really works for someone who is asexual. I'm not entirely sure. But I view lust as more of I want you now, but I might not want you later. kind of thing, but I want you a lot right now, but maybe not forever. And that's a really dangerous game to play, and it's very intense. So I do think lust is often the more intense emotion, which is why people confuse it with love, because it's more intense than love. I think love is like a smoldering kind of sensation, and then lust is like those big flames of like passion and and everything like that.
That die really fast.
Yes, yep. It's like, you know, like when you put like when you throw like alcohol in the fire and it whoosh, and then that's lust. And a lot of these love spells, they're called love spells, but I really feel like they're more lust spells, because it's like, you know, burning with intense passion and the flames of my love and like all of these kinds of things and imagery. I feel like that's just way more lust than it will ever be love.
I'll go next if you want.
I'm
a fucking hopeless romantic, and it's a feeling for me, right? Because like I see lust more so as like when you're desiring somebody's body, you know, you're like looking for that physical intimacy, whereas like love is when you cherish a person's presence, when you like don't have to be afraid to tell them how you're feeling or be vulnerable around them, or someone who you can see every day of your life and that they wouldn't diminish and they would never be less in your eyes, you know, or someone who you just want to be around because you click so well and you're just in the right directions. And it's like, love to me is like a connection between who you two are as people, whereas lust is desiring somebody for their body in a temporary fulfillment sort of deal.
Or lust, I'm also thinking maybe lust in an emotional aspect of you're just caught up in the whirlwind of like, suppose like, you know, you hook up with someone who's maybe they have a lot of money, right? So maybe they're very wealthy. So they live this crazy lifestyle, like we're going to go to these fancy restaurants and we're going to go see shows and we're going to go do all these things. And here's my fancy car. And you're like, wow, like this is so amazing. And I love you. And it's like, no, you don't. But maybe like their personality is actually that of a wet blanket. I like, who really knows?
Yeah. Also, there's nothing wrong with being a sugar baby.
I was gonna say,
if I could get
a fucking sugar mama, I would be having a fucking sugar mama right now.
Right, but is it love though?
I think it's just love for the people who treat me right. Polly, after all.
Yeah.
I mean the sugaring situation, yeah, sure, but I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean, like if you meet someone without that intent, you know what I'm saying, and then they're just like, oh, I have all this money and I can take you out and wine and dine you, but then it turns out that they actually just suck as a person and you're like,
I couldn't do that actually. As much as I say I wouldn't mind having a sugar mama, if they were like as boring as a cracker, I'd just be like, I'm sorry, I'd rather be poor and interesting than like
exactly.
I mean, really too though, I mean, like, I think one of the things that's really necessary between relationships with people, any relationship, but also definitely romantic or sexual relationships, is communication and honesty.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah.
Say what you want. Know what you want. What is it that you're looking for? Are you just looking for sex? Are you looking for a long-term relationship? Are you looking to take things slow? What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths in relationships? What are things that you can work on and better?
What are your boundaries?
Boundaries. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Boundaries,
you know, like,
are very important.
You know, like, so really talking about, like, talking and being real with people is important. Another thing that I found with Darian is that I know a lot of people look for the butterflies. Everyone stop looking for butterflies. Stop doing it. Mm-hmm. That is the
butterflies. I don't have that reference.
I don't.
It's like a feeling. And you go ahead.
Oh, the butterfly feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop looking for the butterflies in your stomach, because
that's called anxiety, actually. Yes. That is what I learned.
Yes.
I have been with someone though who, like, I felt so good. It wasn't even butterflies. It was like my entire soul was lit up and like I was a beacon of light and I was
That's fine.
But that's a different feeling for me. See, it's true. I felt that too, but I was so at peace
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel anxious. I didn't feel, you know, I wasn't like asking the gods, like, please, I really like this guy. Please let him like me. It wasn't, it was, this is just so nice. And we just, it was like a deep breath and an exhale, you know, and it just happened that easily, that whatever. And there, yeah.
I think that's really interesting you mentioned the butterfly thing, because this just reminded me of my first girlfriend. We were a train wreck. We were not good for each other, but we were so, quote unquote, in love. And whenever she would walk into a room, I would get what I thought were butterflies. So, you know, like, oh, she walks into a room and I'm like, and I feel this feeling, you know, this quickening, my pulse rises. It's really my blood pressure through the roof, because I didn't know what the fuck she was going to say next that was either going to piss me off or piss her off or whatever the case was. And I realize now, because, like, honestly, like, you know, obviously, you know, Joyce is my partner now. I do not get that feeling when you walk into a room, and I have learned that that is okay. That is okay. I'm not like, ah, like when you walk into a room.
Plus, if someone makes you feel that anxious, like, how do you even function around them, right?
Don't. Mm-hmm.
You gotta be centered.
Yeah, you're right. Whatever.
There's a fine line to walk between anxiousness and stability, I guess you could say. Yeah. No, but just like going off of what Sophia was saying, like, and I get that, because, like, I don't know. I guess I'm a traditionalist, and that I was raised to think like the whole butterfly things is a good thing, and I guess it's kind of hard to differentiate what is like anxiety, like anxious feelings versus like catching feels or whatever the kids say these days. the youth say this day, but no, I agree that with you, Sophia, in that, you know, it's genuine, and you know that it's not lust. It actually is love when you just feel at home, at calm, at, yeah, like, and you're just like, you're like this shining like beacon, and people can just tell. People, yep, are just like, they look at you and they're like, mm-hmm, I know.
You're
I
glowing.
See you.
You're lit,
like,
up.
Exactly.
Yeah, you see it in your,
exactly,
face. You're glowing. You're lit up. And like euphoria.
It's like, ah.
And like, that state doesn't always last sometimes in a long term relationship, no, and that's okay, no, too. It, mm-hmm, doesn't have to, you know.
But I
every
think that
relationship will go through its ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that shows the potency of love. It not just its emotional potency, but its spiritual one as well, mm, right? Because, you know, it is it changes, and it transitions, and it grows, and it withers, and it, you know, it kind of has its own process. It's
a journey.
Yeah, yeah. It's a process of growth. Yeah,
mm-hmm, evolution, if you want to so call it. Like,
yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else were you getting at, Sophia? With some of the things you were talking about. I know we went off on like three tangents. So
I'm actually really enjoying recording this episode. So all those tangents. I wanted to talk about a healthy way that you can do some love magic, because I've had to do some love magic to draw people to me, because I'm one lonely bitch and I still struggle that. And a healthy way that you can do love magic is like putting out intent to find someone, right? Like, opening yourself up is a really good way. Sometimes I'll carry a honey charm on me, which has like honey and rosemary and lavender, to like bring in love, but like ease without it being pressuring. And that's just to bring it into how I want to act. It's more like adjusting myself naturally to be in a state where I can find love easier, because you're going to get more flies with honey than you will with vinegar, right? Yeah. And like, even people who aren't practicing witches have their own kind of natural charm to catching people when they're
perfume, mm-hmm, makeup, mm-hmm, cologne, that shirt that makes you look really hot, you your know, favorite, whatever, these glasses, yeah, like doing your hair. There's a million different things that we do for, exactly, glamour.
There are hundreds of folkloric stories that would say that all of that was once magic. And
yes,
mm-hmm,
this is very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Magic. I do too.
Yeah. You're, yeah, not with
you're doing things, magic without realizing that you're doing magic.
Yeah, and that most muggles honestly are constantly, I don't even like calling people muggles because everybody's constantly doing magic whether or not you know you're doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. magic's just a process of being accountable and like being cognizant of what you're doing and being self-aware, right?
Yeah.
But any of that stuff isn't bad because you're not violating somebody else's consent. You're just putting out there what you want and drawing in somebody who's looking for the same thing. That there's nothing wrong with that. It's like saying, you know, like, I don't know, I'm stammering at this point. It's good to be able to present yourself in a way that you want to draw in something to you that is what you're trying to do. It's not mm-hmm. something that violates anybody else's consent. So if you like want to write down on a piece of paper all of these qualities of a partner that you want and plant that and just let it go and hopefully someone comes to you like that, that's great. You know, it's not like such and such shall love me, you know, that's it's explicitly when you get into the problematic territory. Other than that, it's not a bad thing, and you shouldn't feel bad if you want to resort to using magic to find someone, because I certainly have done that a lot.
And I also think it's important to also not shame other people for when they do those things. So, or, I mean, because I think also, like, when you talk about, like, honey charms or even just something as simple as, like, makeup or hair or clothes or anything like that, it does, there is a fine line between people that may, so suppose, I don't know, you wear like a shirt that's like maybe a little low cut, maybe a little revealing, right? Some people would view that as, oh, you're just, you know,
attention seeking.
Mm-hmm. You just want to hook up. You're not looking for love. It's like, well, no, like this makes me feel attractive. This makes me feel sexy. Like this is like, I feel good when I wear this.
Yes.
I'm not advertising to everyone. You know what I mean? I'm
like
not
free
like
show.
Get line
no.
bitches, you know. Right. It's not like that. So if you have like a friend or friends or whatever, you know, that maybe they do wear more revealing clothes, maybe they're doing more makeup, maybe they're going to the gym and, you know, posting like half naked selfies on Instagram because they're feeling themselves. Do not shame them for it. Maybe ask them and say, hey, what's going on? I just want to make sure you're not like, you know, on a bender, maybe like sleeping with everyone. And if you are, cool, be safe, you know. Just talk to your friends because it's important to, because if they're trying to do it, because if they're really feeling themselves and like feeling attractive, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing. And I think this happens a lot in queer circles. And in especially with trans people that I have found, my roommate Katie, you know, I've mentioned her a bunch of times. She actually like she said something to me a couple months ago. Like a friend of hers transitioned. He's a trans guy, so he's transitioning. And I noticed that the selfies on Instagram are more revealing, showing more of his body. He's had surgery. He's been going to the gym, stuff like that. So she was like, well, what's with all these like underwear pictures? Like, what's going on? I'm like, he's feeling himself. Like, he's finally feeling okay. And I think that's okay. Like, you have to recognize what that is. It's not just attention seeking. It's just, it's like feeling confident. And I think that's also a huge part of love magic. You know what I mean? You feel confident and you're expressing that out there.
It you got to love yourself first. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've noticed that like a personal anecdote, I guess, since I'm not like medically transitioning in any way. My body produces enough of each hormone that I don't really need to do that. I look crazy enough as it is. But like ever since I've cut my hair and just started dressing differently and binding on certain days and just even something as simple as going out and like buying boxers instead of women's underwear. I've noticed that before I came out, I was very like, I was one of those chicks that if I wanted to take a selfie and post it on social media, I would have to take about 100 different selfies before I would find the one that I was like, okay, I look halfway decent in this before mm-hmm. I would post it. And normally I'd have to do my hair. I'd have to do my makeup. I'd have to do and put on a low cut shirt and just to make myself look attractive before I would post something online. And ever since I've become more comfortable in myself and in my own body and my gender identity, like, I'll, like, wake up in the morning and my hair will be a hot mess and I'll be like, I look cute, and I'll just, like, take a picture mm-hmm. and I'll post it on Instagram because I don't care. Like, I'm more comfortable in myself. So there is something to be said that the more comfortable you are with yourself, that it'll be portrayed towards everybody else out mm-hmm. there.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, also, go ahead.
Good.
I was just going to do a quick shout out. It's a shameless plug to a book, Learning Good Consent. The full title is Learning Good Consent on Healthy Relationships and Survivor Support. I think it's a book that everybody should read. It opens up with, like, talking about what the book is, saying, hey, some of the material in here is a little heavy. You should be careful if you have any trauma because it's going to talk about that. And then it does, like, 47 or 52 questions about consent that ask, like, really important and kind of tough questions that we don't always cover. And I think it's a good book for a lot of people to go through. And it's like a workbook. So you can write stuff down in a journal and come back to it later. And it really helps you understand how to engage with other people in a healthy way.
Like if you that. Can, Sophia, when we're done this episode, just type out the details in the chat so I can find mm-hmm. an Amazon link so I can share it.
100% well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this book changed my life. It's mm-hmm. it's 100% great.
I mean, consent is a huge thing for me. I mean, I like when me and Joyce first got together, Joyce was not out as non-binary or anything. So I always was like, you know, my kink is respecting women, you know, you know? Like that's my kink. Because I was incredibly cautious. I mean, I was also in a relationship for 6 years. So you're in a relationship with another person and you know everything about them. So then you get involved with someone new and it's just like, okay, well, is that okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? And it's so important to establish that. Mm-hmm. It's so important to establish what consent is.
Mm-hmm. And to check in too, because mm-hmm. consent isn't always just a one-time thing. It's important.
Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
just because it was fine yesterday doesn't mean it's okay today.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You wanted to say something, Scott? You're...
Yeah.
Oh. No, I'm okay. I think I don't remember. It's okay. I just no, I'm just waiting for when it's like appropriate because I kind of have like a battery of, I mean, some of the spells they've already heard of, probably a lot of them, but mm-hmm. I just like to reiterate it, especially for like if someone is on in the dating scene or, you know, in the dating game or whatever, especially around this time.
Yeah, actually, we've kind of talked about like shitty love spells, ones that you shouldn't do. So maybe we can share some ones that are actually good.
Positive.
So,
yeah.
Sophia, I don't know if you want to talk about the thing that you did that I shared with
I will, but I want to talk last because I feel like I've talked a lot this episode. Okay. And I want to talk to other people. Okay. I want to be aware of the space I take up.
So, Scott, did you want to share some good ones?
Well, Joyce, did you have something you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't really have any experience in anything in.
I don't mean like. Oh, Jay was just saying something he was talking to you about.
I was talking about consent and everything. About my kink is respecting women. You know, that was my...
Right.
Oh, okay. So I guess my kink is respecting people now that, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm gay. Oh. I'm gay now, so... She made me gay.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, you viewers, you all know that I always endorse the honey under the tongue trick.
Yes.
I endorse that a lot. Wearing, there's two essential oils when you're dating.
Now, what does honey under the tongue do for someone who didn't see that previous
Right.
episode?
So the honey under the tongue, it makes you a bit of a sweet talker. It makes you a little bit more, helps you say the right thing. It also tastes very good. But you leave it there. Like you just leave it there and let it dissolve naturally. What'd you call it? That's pretty much what that does. It just makes you a sweet talker, helps say the right things. blah, blah, blah. Two essential oils that are, I mean, obviously you also have to remember too, this is, they say musk oil works like this better for men, but I use, you can use cardamom and you can use musk. Now, cardamom essential oil is great because what it does is it makes conversation easy in the sense that the environment becomes relaxed and people all of a sudden with the scent of, now, I know a lot, you know, it's a pseudoscience, aromatherapy, whatever, but there is science to suggest that our olfactory senses do affect our overall mood and things like that.
Oh, they do. That's a fact.
It's either tied directly into memory.
Mm-hmm. So when we smell cardamom, there's something that happens to the brain that allows us to release those, I guess, inhibitions or whatever, and allows us to talk freely. So cardamom is good enough, for men who like men, or for people who like men. Yeah, because it attracts men. Yeah, so people who like men. Musk oil helps a lot. Now, musk oil helps in two ways. Musk oil for you, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling like the crushing weight of loneliness, like if you're trying to learn how to be okay by yourself, wear musk oil because it helps to alleviate the feeling of loneliness. However, on an attractant level, it does something for men in which it draws them to you. They love the smell of it, and it kind of, you know, gets them a little bit riled up, just a little bit, not like too frisky, but just enough to find you very interesting.
I want to test this theory.
I find it works. And you can also do a honey bath in which you just pour, you just literally fill your tub, make sure you wash your tub out, fill your tub, make sure you get a bath, all that. And then you fill your tub up with clean water, nice warm water, or hot water, whichever your preference. You put some honey in it. You want to put enough, though. You want to, like, kind of be able to smell it. And you kind of, like, do, like, a spiritual bath. And what this does is, it helps you. It's great for self-love. It's also, once again, an attractant. So if you're looking to find love or looking to open the way to romance, you can do that. You can also powder orris root. If you have orris root really helps to as a love attractant. If you have, you know, whatever, you just powder yourself. Generally speaking, you want to be a little bit more careful with orris root because you could it could be a little bit more manipulative if you have a person in mind. So we want to be careful of that. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of dust yourself with it with the intention of just attracting good suitors, that's cool. And the last thing that I like to do or use is I like to have, one second, everybody, my grimoire is huge. That is the first pentacle of Mercury, mm-hmm. which is.
So for those listening, that's what you would look up as a visual reference for that.
You would look up the first pentacle of Mercury. It is used to draw personal magnetism. Mm-hmm. Now that can work in any way. You can use that if you are in a work. If you just start a new job and you really want the bosses to like you, you mm-hmm. can carry that talisman. You can also do the cardamom thing too.
I should do that at work.
I should do that at work actually, because I'm having a little bit of work issues.
At the new place already?
It's not bad. It's female drama. Oh, God. Women. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, though, yeah.
So carry that, this little charm with you. I used to, when I would go to the clubs when I was still dating, I used to carry that in my pocket and I would do my little routine. You know, I would get regular, like just get, you know, dressed up nice and whatever. And then I would, you know, do the magic stuff and then I would go. which took like an extra hour, of course. But, you know, I'm gay, so. when I was all into making myself look cute, it did take me some time, but I don't do that no more. Now I'm just a crazy old wizard who
takes me 2 hours just to do this look.
God bless you, honey. God bless you. Every more than an hour on my makeup, I'm like.
And I have been like this on every episode.
You have been, and I am impressed. I actually am not even wearing pants this episode, so.
Okay.
Or a binder. I decide I ain't doing that shit no more. I can't. Like, we record on Sundays, and I bind for never do this, people who bind. Don't do this. I bind for literally 10 to 12 hours a day only because I'm out of my house for that amount of time. You know what I mean? So, like, I leave my house around 8 in the morning, and I don't get home until 6. Mm-hmm. 5:36 sometimes, and if I got the dinner. So don't do that. It's not good. But because I do that on a regular basis, on Sundays we record podcasts, and I was wearing the binder, you know, just in case, like, the camera moved, I moved, and then, you know, whatever. If you see my titty, I don't care. That's how I am. I don't give a fuck. And I'm not wearing pants, so it's just betwixt everyone. Welcome to the podcast.
As professional content. As it gets.
Quality content.
Very, very professional.
Now, I wanted to go off of something real quick that Scott was saying. It reminded me of back in the day, like maybe like 5-6 years ago or something like that, before I even really
in my youth,
my late teens, early 20s. I actually, there's something to be said, about scents. So this is before I was practicing. Well, I guess I can't say before I was practicing witchcraft, because I realized that there have been things that I've been doing since I was a child, a wee child, that would be considered
consciously practicing witchcraft.
Exactly. And I actually purposely, it was a huge trend at the time that they actually made perfume that has pheromones in it. And you could go out and you could buy this perfume, and it would have these pheromones in it, and it was supposed to help you attract I don't know, because
was it men specifically, or just people?
It was perfume. You could get perfume for women, and you could get cologne for men that had pheromones in it. They were
intended to attract the opposite sex.
Because that's
heteronormative culture.
Exactly. So yeah. That was probably what it was.
Buy the perfume?
Yes, I did buy the perfume at the time. Okay. I actually still have the bottle.
Joyce was totally about this heteronormative bullshit, and I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's just complete bullshit. I actually still have the, I should have pulled it out. I didn't even think about it. I still probably have the bottle somewhere. And funny enough, I just so happened to be in a relationship with a cis man at that time. And I swear to God, it was insane. The effect that it had on him.
And like, he didn't know about it.
He had no idea. And because I went out and I bought it, and I was like, I'm going to do this sneaky little experiment, see if this actually works. And I went out and I bought this bottle of perfume, spent way too much money on it, and I put it on before we went out on a date that night, and I swear to God, could not. Like, he was just like, when are we going back home? And wow. it was nuts. And it wasn't until like after the whole night had finished, concluded, whatever. And I'm just like laying. Exactly. I'm giggling evilly to myself. And I showed him the bottle, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, you evil bitch. So it really is something to be said. And who knows if that was, as I said, I was in a relationship with him at this point, but it really is. It's insane to think that something as simple as supposedly some pheromones and some perfume can have that effect on whether a person of the opposite gender, same gender, who knows. But that just reminded me of that little backstory.
I love the fact how excited that story made you, just because I won't lie. When I used to do my like little battery of things when I was dating, and it was so funny, whenever you beguile or glamour someone, You can watch, you can see it in their eyes. It is. It's like a beguiling glamour magic. You can see it in their eyes. You literally can watch the spell. Like, you can watch like how it's just like their pupils like start to like, you know,
in a little bit of a way,
it feels good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can see how like you all of a sudden watch this like gentle shift. And it's just kind of, you know, like in some way, I felt like a really badass witch, you know, like I would have my drink And I'd be like, oh, hi. You know,
what's up?
You're under my spell. I put a spell on you, bitch. And now you're mine. But the thing is, of course, it was just, you know, attraction. So, you know, I just, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it was, oh, it's too funny.
It wasn't a, yeah. It did feel good. It did feel a little bit good. I will.
It's okay to do that kind of magic and feel good about it. You know, it's okay to feel good. Like, as long as you're not, like, you know, like, literally, like, pulling someone by their hair back to your man cave, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I mean, there's things less than that that also violate consent.
That's, well, you know, yeah, what obviously. I mean? Or the magical equivalent of that, you know what I mean? You know, you can't think of anyone but me. Haha. Like, that's really fucked up.
One thing that I will say, and this is honest to God truth, although I did those things, I think maybe I kissed one of them. And that was more because he kissed me and he was cute. And I was like, okay, you can kiss me once. But like, I never had sex with them. We didn't even hardly made out. I just did it more because they were interested. It like just helped them open up and become interested in me. It really, like, I didn't touch them. I didn't go home with them. I didn't do nothing, which I think really does set my story apart. Because it's just to attract you to talk to me. And it's not to say that, like, I have any problems with, like, you know, someone sleeping with someone on the first date or anything like that, because do what you want to do as long as you're safe, cool beans. But, like, yeah, that to just kind of give that as, like, a little.
I think it's also important to also keep your, like, you, I hate to say, like, use protection, but, like, use protection when you do this kind of magic, too. Like, if you are doing any kind of magic to attract people to you. Yeah, you do need like a magical condom basically for that, because it's really important, honestly, because my hairdresser, I don't even know why I'm thinking of this. My hairdresser was talking about, I guess he was like in the gayborhood at a bar or something like that, you know, talking to people. No, it was Outfest. That's what it was. He was talking about Outfest back in October, and he was there, you know, having a drink, and he was like, yeah, like everyone was like grabbing my ass. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm not saying that it makes it right, but it is also a hugely crowded area, so it's like kind of almost impossible not to bump into someone's ass, you know what I mean? So he was like talking about that, and then he was like, I was like, eh, kind of like whatever about it, you know, whatever, grab my ass, I'm drunk, whatever. But some guy came up to him and just full on like grabbed his junk, like just full on was like, hey, and he was like, whoa, full stop, like that's.
I was like, dude, that was assault.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, I know, like, he was like, I'm all for, like, having a good time. Okay, you know, like, bump up on my ass or something, whatever, fine. But, like, don't do that. Like, that's not okay.
There's a fine line, like, that should not be crossed.
And apparently the guy was like, oh, well, you don't want to mess around. He's like, no, get the fuck away from me, you know? It's just, so, not saying that he was intentionally doing any kind of magic, but I'm just saying, like, when you're in those environments and you are attracting people, be careful.
But it is important that you said that, because I was going to also say this. There's a couple of things. One, don't go to bars alone in general.
Have a wingman or wingwoman, whatever.
Have a friend. And it's not to say that you shouldn't, but unfortunately, the world that we live in is not the best of places, and people unfortunately think that they can touch you and they can do things to you without your permission, and that is, and unfortunately we see that a lot in queer spaces. And believe it or not, like, that whole like sexual assault thing, that happens a lot at gay bars.
That's where I was.
I guess technically speaking, I too was I didn't have as much problem with it, just because I was like, I guess because I was angry. I was more angry than I was offended. Mm-hmm. Like, so it didn't affect, it was just like, you know, fucking asshole. Like, I didn't ask you to touch me, but that used to happen to me all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Getting my ass grabbed. In one particular bar. And I mean, I don't want to cause trouble, but, one particular.
Is that bar still open? Because one of them is now closed.
Not that bar. Not the racist.
Yeah, eye candy's gone. Bye.
Yeah, no, not the racist bar. I used to have my ass grabbed all the time. It's a bear bar for the bear subculture.
Oh, okay.
And they used to grab my ass all the time. And I would turn around, and the thing is, it was always crowded because I would always go on weekends. And I would turn around, and they would act like it wasn't them. And yeah, it wasn't a brush up.
Like,
you know the difference. It's like someone's
exactly.
like,
yeah.
or this brushes up on your butt. You know the difference. You're like, no, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. It just yeah. happens, you know? But you know the difference from like
between like a this grab.
And like that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not even hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very obvious. And it was this. And that's infuriating because, I mean, in some way it is offensive just because I didn't give you permission to touch my body. Mm-hmm. And me having an anxiety, especially with being touched, in particular by men,
interesting.
With especially without my permission, do not touch me unless I openly say you can touch me. Like yeah. if I go to hug you, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, but don't like... I mean, and if you're having a conversation and you like touch my shoulder, that's fine too. I mean, like, don't try to be sexual.
Yeah.
I have like this, like when, especially with men that come on too strong, mm-hmm. I used to always, like, I got scared. Like, I hate people in general. I hate when people come on strong because mm-hmm. it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And like, I start to like, because for some reason in my brain, it translates back to my abuse for some reason.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. that sounds like a PTSD response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know why that, I don't know where that, I think it's just because that same, it's very, it's in your face. It's loud. And I, and that scares me. So mm-hmm. that was, it felt the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. And the weird thing is though, I don't know if we would all agree, but whenever like it's a huge problem in all queer spaces. But we don't talk about it as much as straight cis women do.
Okay.
I feel like even gay men, assault, like sexual assault.
Oh.
Like we kind of like let it go. Like,
well, there's also this too that I noticed, and I'm not saying at all gay men, but there is a common trope that I've seen of, you know, gay men who are perhaps more flamboyant or whatever the case is, and they're with cis women and they're like grabbing on their boobs and like touching them. And like some of these women, like if you're drinking and it's your friend, it's like, oh my God, like whatever. But you, like some gay men think that they have the liberty right. to go up to any woman and be like, oh, I'm touching your boobs, but I don't like you because I don't want to fuck you. So it's okay. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not okay.
Not
my body. Yeah. Period. It's not okay.
I will stab a motherfucker if they touch me.
Yeah, exactly.
They it's funny because you're right. They do that. Mm-hmm. But then again, too, there's also on the other side, too, like with go-go boys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I have a few of my friends who are go-go boys and like more like sex work as well. So they're generally, you know, they have very nice physiques for work. Mm-hmm. And
so women think it's okay to like
them
inappropriately. Cis women.
Pet women, yeah, yeah. In general.
And, oh, you're gay, so it's fine. Haha. Yeah, it's right. like, no, it's yeah. not okay.
Right.
Just because I look good doesn't mean you can have all this.
Once again,
it doesn't matter, man, woman, non-binary,
yeah,
whatever you are.
Don't touch people.
Nobody, it doesn't. Yeah, just don't touch people unless they want you to touch them. And if they want you to touch them, exactly.
Learning good back consent. To the book. Back
read to this the book. Fucking book. It'll cover all book. Of this, and it'll even read like talk about checking in. Everybody, go buy Learning Good Consent.
It doesn't matter what your gender is, what your sexuality is. Do not touch people unless they want to be touched. People yeah. are very good. Like, it's very simple. Like, you just go, like, hey, like, can I give you a hug? Or can I, whatever. And they'll be like, yes or no. And mm-hmm. simple. It's not yeah. that hard.
And it also goes down not to magic, hard. Too. Don't yeah. do magic on people that don't exactly. want to do you. Or, yeah. like, mm-hmm. you know, if they obviously mm-hmm. don't like you, don't try and force them to like you.
I ask people even before I do a minor blessing for them, or if I mm-hmm. like my friend's looking for a house and I asked her if she wanted me to help and she said no. And so I absolutely won't, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like a part of a healthy relationship.
Exactly.
Also, do you want me to give that love spell that I did now?
Oh, yeah. Let's yeah. talk about that. Now that we've talked about groping people in public.
Okay.
Part of it.
So Jay helped me find this spell. So feel free to interject at any point if you remember details that I don't. But
I think I found it in the Goodly spell book, I believe. Okay.
So the spell called for me to burn specific herbs at 3 a.m. under the light of a full moon on the day of Passion, was it? Which is a Friday?
I believe so.
So I had to, like, set this this ritual up ahead, like, 3 months in advance, because I was like, well, when even is the next moon going to be like that? And Jay's like, I just so happen to have a perfect calendar for that. Busted it out.
It's called Phases of the Moon app, and I highly recommend it. Lots of amazing.
Lots of shout-outs this episode. But yeah.
Yes.
And what I had to do, essentially, was... take a small charcoal tablet, I'm sure many of you would be familiar with how to use those, and burn several items over top of it. It was dried rose petals, which I collected from my own garden, preferably ones that had more richness of the color red to them. The more saturation, the better. Then it was grains of paradise, which I'm not sure that's a colloquial name for what that is. I went to the local occult shop in Toronto and I asked the person there what it was and pulled out this huge compendium and like flipping through and found out. And it's a type of peppercorn. I'm not sure exactly what kind. But
that's actually just a quick note. For any magic, I find that if you want to, for substitutions, always just try and pick something more regionally appropriate to substitute because it's going to work better. You know, like, don't feel like you have to import some herbs from fucking Italy or Africa. You really don't have to go through all that. Mm-hmm. And Chris and Tara in their book, another shout out in this episode, Chris and Tara in their book, Bezum, how do you even?
Hold on. Bezum? You did that thing where you were pronouncing it, now I can't pronounce it. Bezum.
Bessem Staying in Sword, Chris and Tara's book, another really good book. They talk about that a lot, about just using regional items is just always preferable. But
yeah.
Another shout out, they're going to be out Del Marva Pagan Pride Day in April. In
yes, they are. They are.
They're also signing their book in a couple weeks in Jersey.
Okay. Nice. Now back to that.
Back to that.
So I gathered the rose petals from my own rose bushes out of the house. I also incorporated lavender because me being a cunning gay witch, I know that lavender is like the trademark lesbian herb. It's like if you want to attract other women, you usually go into like lavender, rose, or I find lilacs can work as well as violet as well, the flower. Those are all generally very sapphic in my opinion. And I burnt all of these at 3 a.m. under the light of the full moon in a ritual I did out on my front porch. Funny story, too. A guy started walking down the street. Actually, no, it was a lady. Right as I start doing this, and I'm doing like, you know, in the middle of Lesser Banishing of the Ritual Pentagram with like these robes on and my mantle and a witch hat.
And you live
like,
in a city.
I live in a city, and I've got like lanterns around me and candles, and I'm like burning shit. You can smell it throughout the neighborhood, like the burning rose petals while I'm banishing. And she like sees me and cuts directly across the street and like power walks for her life through a parking lot to get to the other street and keep going. And, like,
see, if that were me, I'd be like, what are you doing?
What's going on?
Me too. Pulls out a robe. I want in.
So I stood over the smoke and allowed it to encompass my body, and then I snuffed the flames out. And I also had made an alteration of the spell. It says to go immediately to a cemetery, and you have to head to the cemetery and take a completely different path to return. You cannot retrace your steps. And when you enter the cemetery, you're supposed to make a crossing in the cemetery. And at the cross point, I scattered the ashes that I had, and I did a severing spell that I tied into it to cut old relationship ties to people that I still had kind of lingering around so I could move forward and
get rid of your baggage.
Exactly. And I returned home by a different path. The difference I made was I waited until the morning because the local cemetery here does not stay open at 3 a.m. and they have security, so I'm not going to go get arrested just for a love spell.
Hey, don't get arrested for your craft either. Yeah. That's also, don't break very laws. Important. It's we have to live within the rules of society, unfortunately.
Very much so. So I went there just at like first light when they were open. I woke up early and I went there and scattered the ashes and came back. And since then, I don't want to like say it's 100% worked, but I've been going on some dates and I got some people who are very clearly interested in me and we're talking about stuff. So I've definitely had progress from it, and it seems to have been working. I also tied in another sigil that a friend gave to me when I was asking for help with trying to find love stuff. He made me a sigil to draw love to me in a healthy relationship sort of way. So I burnt that as well on a specific type of paper and used that as the ashes that I scattered in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to, like, after this, I'm probably going to go grab the Goodly spell book and look for it.
It's a very cool spell. I just remember you were talking to me and you were feeling pretty down and down and out. And it was like at a time when you were always like, do you want me to do the spell for you, like, you want me to help you out? And I was like, oh shit, I think I actually have something in a book somewhere that might help you with this specific issue. So I remember, yeah, I was taking like a bunch of pictures and then like sending them to you.
Yeah.
Because we're broke witches and I can't just be like, oh Sophia, go buy this book. You know, because I know you got money like that.
Screen caps for life, I guess.
Exactly. Just as effective.
I guess that's what's I think in our group chat the other day, Sophia, you referenced as like, this is sort of like our little witches betwixt, like it's our own little like coven of sorts, and you have to look out for each other and support each other, and hey, you need this, like let me help you with this, or you need this, let me help you with this. And
need me to cut a witch?
Exactly. And it's awesome.
So I just I know like we're getting up close to our thing here. So do we want to actually do a separate episode about, maybe not record it today obviously, but do we want to do a separate episode maybe about anti-love magic?
Ooh, yeah, I would like that. Yeah, to break love spells, like honestly.
To break love spells, or you know, to like maybe get back at someone who has wronged you in a relationship.
Yay!
At Scott.
I'm a pro. I curse
at Scott.
All of my ex-boyfriends.
I got some good fucking mirror spells that I'd be very happy to share in that episode, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So that would be a good one. Also, I would like to do a sex magic episode.
And kink.
And sex magic and kink. I mean,
I get more excited about kink than sex magic.
I feel like they both fall under the same umbrella, because like using magic and sex is like innately kinky. So
I think they kind of go maybe not so much like the same, but maybe go hand in hand, Scott. Like that's
meant kink and magic.
That too.
I almost want to do kink as like a separate episode from sex magic though, because like I am a fucking kink enthusiast and that is a whole episode to itself. I promise you. I got implements to talk about and like I got outfits to wear for it. I'm like,
how about you do Patreon content then? We'll do a sex and kink video and then you do a kink Patreon.
Maybe I could do an introduction to Impact on the Patreon, because that's what I'm good at.
I mean, the cool thing is that we don't monetize, so I don't give a shit about talking about sex and magic on YouTube. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I don't monetize, and so I can't get in trouble.
Yeah, I could talk about Impact on the Patreon.
Yeah, so yeah, those are kind of like the next episodes. I think we're all kind of excited about this topic. So this episode, obviously, we're talking about love magic. The episode to follow this is actually not going to be in the sex love kind of realm, unless we decide to switch things up, because we already recorded something before. So we'll see where we want to put that. Yeah, I think we can kind of wrap this up here.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of good.
Point.
I think
I just, I kind of have like a list to wrap things up, kind of just like little bullet points, do's and don'ts of love magic.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to get into, you know. Oh, just
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, go ahead, Scott.
So on my to-do list, cast non-specific spells to find love.
Yes.
So don't cast spells on a particular person, just to reach out into the universe and find someone or someone's to have a loving, healthy relationship with. Cast love spells to strengthen and protect existing love.
Mm-hmm.
Do cast self-love spells and magic.
Mm.
This.
Very important.
Yes.
Do work consenting sex magic. Draw love of another that you know is in love with you. Like if someone is a little bit scared, or you know, like if someone is like, maybe they're you know, like you know that they like you and they've told you, but they're a little nervous. Like you can ease them out, kind of like help them feel good, help them feel, you know, not
more
scared.
Confident.
Obstacle removal, path opening.
And of course I wrote, do cast glamours on yourself and like beguile, you know, for a little fun, a little wicked fun. don't do any of those things if it's not consenting. Mm-hmm. Do not draw love of another person if they do not reciprocate, or if they are just, you know, someone you desire and have never had any real interaction with.
100%.
Yeah, just to give like a little abbreviated do's and don'ts.
Yes, absolutely. Really, consent is key in love magic, and also just be careful not to confuse love with lust.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in lust with someone, that's not wrong, it's not bad, it's okay, but just don't confuse the two, mm-hmm. you know, if that's what you're trying to mm-hmm.
Can I offer a quote on that?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This is from one of my favorite books, Fierce Femmes and Notorious Liars by Kai Cheng Tom. The difference between love and hunger. Love is the story that takes you somewhere new. Hunger is the story that keeps you in the same place. Mm-hmm. That's something I've always thought about and kept very mindful of.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's great.
I love that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful. Yeah.
Quote that.
Yes.
That's great.
Awesome. So I think we can kind of wrap this up here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is going to be posted. Happy Valentine's Day tomorrow mm-hmm. to everyone who celebrates or doesn't celebrate. Yeah, it's a Hallmark holiday, whatever.
It's about the really, love. The
I'm going to get really drunk.
Me too, probably. No, I have to go to work. I'll be at work. Oh, God, work. Oh, no. Anyway. okay, so we're on all the social medias. Follow us there, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are the three main ones. We do have a subreddit. Please get in there and talk. It's very empty in there. There's tumbleweeds blowing around. We're going to post some Patreon content related to Valentine's Day love magic by the end of February. So there'll be something up there related to that. And we will see you all in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Woo!
I feel good about that episode.
That was good.
Hello, everyone. Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader, and through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.